1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity, or God's kind of love, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men, to edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. I would have you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Edifying. I want to cover the gift of prophecy in this session with you and its role that it plays in our lives. The giving of a prophecy to someone, the receiving of prophecy, is such a blessing and an encouragement that God has made available for the church, for his people. And some of the things I'm going to be sharing will be very simple for those that have been exposed to spirit-filled life most of their lives. It may be new to others, but we need to desire, the scriptures teach, spiritual gifts. We need to follow after love, but we should desire, not shun, not ignore, not be embarrassed of, not put away, but we should be desiring these spiritual gifts. And then Paul specifically honors the gift of prophecy and how that prophecy edifies the entire church, that it brings exhortation and edification and comfort. And he just compares those who speak with other tongues versus those who prophesy, and that speaking with other tongues, while that is a tremendous blessing, that is a sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our lives, when we speak in an unknown tongue, we're not speaking to men. We're speaking to God. That's why it took me years to separate the difference between the gift of tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We may look at that here in just a moment, but the gift of tongues and the interpretation of the gift of tongues is different than a prayer language or speaking in other tongues as an overflow of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you speak with other tongues, your spirit, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, is praying, is speaking to God. So in my prayer language, which is speaking with other tongues as a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit, my spirit is talking to God and my understanding is unfruitful. The gift of tongues is God speaking to us. That's why we need an interpretation of the gift of tongues, because we need to know what God said. Because if we don't have that gift of interpretation, we won't know if the gift of tongues is operating in a body. That's not them talking to God. That's a specific gift where God is trying to talk to us in a supernatural way. And we have to have somebody to interpret that so we all know what God said. Once someone speaks in the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues comes, then we all get edified. We all get comforted. But see, if you prophesy, now you don't have to wait for someone to interpret. If you can prophesy, have an inspired word from God in a known tongue, that's what prophecy is, an inspired word from God in a known tongue, then that's going to bring edification immediately and encouragement and comfort. Now, I don't know what you've been going through lately, but I've been going through some times in which I need to hear God. Now, don't misunderstand me. We need to hear God all the time, but if we're real and kind of honest, there are sometimes, at least it seems like, we need to hear God more now than we needed to hear him even, we thought at least, yesterday. And so there is nothing like receiving a prophecy when you're seeking God and you're endeavoring to hear God on your own and in your own heart, and he is the shepherd, we're the sheep, and we should hear and know his voice. But a prophecy given in due season, a prophecy given in the right time and in the right moment can be such a comfort to the heart, such a confirmation that I'm hearing God, or an affirmation that I'm on the right track. because many times we're still walking by faith. We're living by faith, and we believe we're hearing God. We embrace what we think is God, but a prophecy from a believer in those times is such a blessing and like water in the desert. Or you being used by God to give someone a prophecy in due season, in due time, is like not only water to them, but it's a blessing to you to know that God used you to edify somebody. Think about it. If I prophesy, I edify, I exhort, and I comfort. Well, who doesn't do that and not feel good about it? Have you ever said something you weren't supposed to say? Just raise your hand on this one. Have you ever said something dumb? I mean, we all say dumb things. Mine just happens to be recorded. That's the only difference. That's why when people pick me apart, I just smile and walk off. If we was to record them, they would be toast, amen, with the dumb things they say or mishaps they experience in their vernacular, and on I could go. So we all have had those moments where we said something kind of dumb, and we knew it didn't exhort, it didn't edify the hearer or comfort. How does that make you feel? Makes you feel, not necessarily dumb, but it makes you feel really bad. Nobody wants to put somebody down. Nobody wants to discourage someone. We want to encourage someone. No one wants to deflate people's hearts and lives. We want to encourage and edify. No one wants to bring discomfort. You don't want to be a vessel of discomfort. So not only am I blessed, my point is, I hope you're getting this. My point is, when I receive a prophecy, it is so much encouragement to me. Even after all of these years of hearing God and walking with God, there's something about somebody just speaking a word, an inspired word from God, that still comforts me to this day, encourages me, and edifies me. And when God uses me, and He often does, in this gift of prophecy, it is so encouraging to me to be an encouragement to somebody. So this is a two-way street. If we can operate in prophecy, if we can understand prophecy and this gift of prophecy, and all of us desire to prophesy, not only will the hearer be blessed, but the giver of the word will be blessed as well. Amen? So that's important. Now let's go back and look at this again, because it's not the mindset of many of God's people. Chapter 14, verse 1, follow after love, or divine love, God's kind of love, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Desire for all nine gifts to work in your life. Now, you probably, and I don't mean to be negative in this, this has been controversial when I've said this in the past in certain circles, but you may not work proficiently in all nine gifts, because God divides, according to chapter 12 of this book, the gifts of the Spirit. He gives to one this gift, to another that gift. So there's a diversity and a dividing up of the gifts among us that make up the body of Jesus. Jesus was the body of Christ in one body, and the Holy Ghost was on Him without measure, and He operated in all the gifts proficiently, except tongues and interpretation of tongues. That came after the resurrection and the day of Pentecost. But we are the body of Jesus collectively as one, and us in unity and us in love and us really caring about each other facilitate the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating the way God ordained them to operate. Now listen to me carefully, and I don't know that I'm going to spend any time on this. I'm going to say it and just see how it feels and how it's received. But if you've been in Spirit-filled life very long, you have seen people operate in the gifts not in love, and you've seen people operate in the gifts in love. Amen. Amen. Good. Because that used to be perplexing for me. Is that how could somebody be used in such a mighty gift, the gifts of healings, or a supernatural word of knowledge in which they really knew somebody's name and it wasn't an earpiece in their ear. And they really knew what was wrong with them and it wasn't anybody telling them anything or found something out before the service and told the preacher. I'm talking about a word of knowledge, insight into a problem. real divine insight. And then a word of wisdom, insight into the answer, supernaturally, and I mean the power of God be all over it. And then you find out this person has no character at all. They're sleeping with people in the church, or they're drunk that weekend. Y'all didn't know all this about some of these people? Yeah, it's been disheartening for me over the years to find out the people I had admired and saw the power of God work through their life, and then they had no fruit in their life. They had no character. And it destroyed them. It actually wound up destroying them. And then the confusion of how can God use somebody that isn't holy? And then it always hits me when I think like that. How could God use somebody that isn't holy? And then my second thought is, man, I praise God he does, because I'm not perfect. I found out the gifts, according to the very chapter or book in which this chapter was and people it was written to, had a lot of problems. They weren't perfect. They had discord. They had flaws. They had issues. Yet the gifts, the power of the Holy Spirit begins to work in our lives just as we yield after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What we need is the fruit of the Holy Spirit that comes through the new birth, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit that come through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we need them both. We don't need either or. We need to be people of power, but we need to be people of character. I've just discovered over the years, and even through scriptures, it used to amaze me how in the world, sorry, now I don't even know where I'm going, but this is exciting to me. I mean, I'd be reading about Saul and freak out. This guy's killing people. He's trying to kill David. He's a madman. The Holy Ghost come on him, and he'd start prophesying the Word of God. Amen. Look at Balaam. If you don't have anything to do tomorrow, read Numbers 22, read Numbers 23, and read Numbers 24. And if your head isn't spinning, you're just not reading it right. You're not thinking. This was a man of God. Some of his prophecies are profound. Some of his prophetic words are concerning Messiah and the coming of the Messiah. He's the one that said, God's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath God said it, and shall he not do it? Hath God spoken it, shall it not come to pass? Yeah. Balak, king of Moab, hired him, paid him to curse Israel. And he took the money. He did. He took the money, stood up on a mountain, and he tried to curse them, and he smiled, blessed be the house of Israel, and God is like an ox and a lion among them, and he's just prophesying nothing but blessing. Goes back and tries to give the guy the money back, says, I'm sorry, I tried. He tried to curse them. Amen. He wound up dying under the sword of judgment in his latter years. Just as carnal as the day is long. A donkey saved him. He's the one that his donkey smashed his leg up against the wall because he saw an angel that was going to kill him. And yet he's prophesying. Okay, you're not getting this. Those things bothered me. It's like, how in the world? And then you meet people again that the Holy Ghost is all over them. There's power. The gifts are working through them. There's miracles, signs, and wonders. And then you get around them and they're carnal. And they got major mega problems. And I'm not condoning their major mega problems. I'm saying God doesn't use us because of us. God uses us in spite of us. Amen. It's not God's love for me that he's going to use me in this session. It's God's love for you that he's going to use me in this session. It's not my holiness that puts me in a position for the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit to work in my life. It's simple faith. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I mean, I grew up in such holiness, I was told God wouldn't even put his Holy Ghost in a dirty bucket. And you had to clean up your bucket before God put his Holy Ghost in you. Well, if you could clean up your bucket without the Holy Ghost, why would you need the Holy Ghost? The fact that your bucket's dirty says you need the Holy Ghost. And if God can't fill a dirty bucket, what bucket's he going to fill? Amen or oh me. Evidently, I'm not doing as well as I was hoping and communicating my confusion. I don't want to be like Balaam. I don't want a gift on me and God working in me and through me and me have no character at all. I don't want to be like Saul that the Holy Ghost comes upon me and I can prophesy or I can minister or I can do exploits, and then I try to hurt and harm the people of God. And yet I've seen it my whole life in Pentecost. So it's important that we not only desire spiritual gifts, but we follow after love. And remember, love does its neighbor no harm. See, I don't want to operate in the gifts where I may hurt somebody or harm somebody. I want to operate in the gifts, but I want to operate in the love of God. I never want to hurt or harm anybody. Love is not self-centered, so I don't want to operate in the gifts to draw attention to myself, even the gift of prophecy. I want to operate in the gifts, but I want to follow after love within the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Verse 2 says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men, to edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church." Now, I remember years ago hearing someone put down speaking in tongues, and that it's selfish, and that you're just edifying yourself. Well, if you're praying in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit, praying in, speaking in other tongues just to edify yourself, then I could see that train of thought being valid. But let me ask you something. How can you edify anybody else if you're not edified? You have to be edified. You have to be built up to prophesy properly. Because if I'm going to bring you an encouraging word, I got to be encouraged. And so praying in your prayer language, praying in other tongues, does build you up in your inner man, but it never ends there. I don't want to be built up just to be built up. I need to be built up before every service, because I don't want to tear anybody down tonight. I want to lift people up. Amen? Amen. So in praying in an unknown tongue, I am edifying myself, but when I prophesy, I edify the church. Verse 5 says, "I would that you all spake with tongues." So see, he wasn't saying anything negative about tongues. He's putting everything in its proper order, everything in its proper perspective. "But rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may be edified." Listen at verse 3 in the New Living Translation. "But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them." I just love the sound of that. Can you imagine a church that not only believed in prophecy, but learned how to prophesy within the love of God, learned how to speak under the inspired word from God, learned to have an ear that just encourages people and edifies people and comforts people. See, we want all of our altar workers disciplined and trained in especially this gift, because we want everybody that comes to the altar in need to be encouraged at some level. And even giving them the word of God is a form of prophecy. Just sharing God's word under the inspiration of the Spirit, a word in season, a word in its proper application, is a form of prophecy. But to be able to share, inspired by God, into their situation, I'm telling you, it's an encouragement when people are seeking God. Verse 4 says, "A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally." Amen. "But one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church." Jude chapter 20 says, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God while we're looking for the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ." When you learn to pray in the Spirit, when you learn to do it in its proper place, not screaming and hollering at church and being disruptive, but in its proper place, your prayer language to God, your spirit speaking to God. It says you're building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God. There's something supernatural about praying in the Spirit. There's something supernatural about praying in your prayer language, in other tongues, especially, again, in your prayer closet, because you're exercising some form of faith. And as long as I have sought God over this, there are still mysteries involved in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, mysteries involved in speaking with other tongues, mysteries involved that your spirit speaks unto God. Do you know how few people even understand they have a spirit?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
That they are a spirit being, they have a soul and they live in a body? But when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, that's your first tangible, there's more to me than my peanut brain. Amen. Because I'm being inspired. I am receiving utterance from the Spirit. I'm speaking, but I'm receiving divine utterance by faith. That's why I'm building myself up on my most holy faith. It takes faith to pray in the Holy Ghost. It takes faith to pray in the Spirit, and something literally internally happens. And yet, if I can go past just edifying myself to speaking in the known tongue, an inspired word of God, I edify and build up others. One of the things I have endeavored my entire ministry is to get over to a authentic people the reality of the gifts of the Holy Spirit beyond these four walls. It is amazing how people get hung up in the public assembly, and if there isn't 25 words and there isn't signs and wonders and people slain and all kinds of things going on, activity in that way, they are critical or disappointed, and yet they go all week long and never operate in any of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, saints, are not subject to just our public assemblies. You should be flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit naturally, supernaturally. It doesn't have to be strange like what I grew up in. It doesn't have to be, woo, the Holy Ghost just came on me. No. Praise the Lord. I don't mean to be critical. I'm not trying to even put my heritage down. I'm trying to make the point that the Holy Ghost is on you all the time. The Holy Ghost is with you all the time. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not for a show to those who believe and a circus. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are so we can minister one to another supernaturally 24/7. There's some of the most powerful displays. And I don't believe I'm unique in this. Now, I feel unique. I just don't think I'm supposed to be unique of how God has used me so supernaturally outside the pulpit that I operate primarily in prophecy in my preaching and primarily in revelation of what Jesus means to me and what Jesus has done in me and what Jesus is saying to me. But outside of the pulpit is when I find words of knowledge on a constant basis, words of wisdom, that I'm just talking to somebody, and suddenly I can put the pieces together for them. And people think that's just natural wisdom, or I'm a good counselor. No, it's a word of knowledge. Then all of a sudden they'll be trying to explain something, and I'll go, here's what you're saying, and here's what you mean. And they go, wow, that's exactly what I'm saying. How did you know? I didn't get all weird or spooky or thus saith the Lord God of Israel. And it sounds like I am being critical there. I don't mean to sound like I'm being critical there. I don't think there'd be anything wrong with you saying, man, thus saith the Lord God, okay? But you don't have to say, thus saith the Lord God, to speak into somebody's life supernaturally. And not only has God given me words of knowledge constantly, insight to the problem is a word of knowledge. Insight into the facts beyond even our carnal understanding, a word of wisdom is insight to the answer. And it's supernatural. And that's a part of what prophecy does. Once you begin to yield, once you begin to just trust God and really pray for people and really listen to them and really ask God to help you to speak into their life, you'll begin to sense things. You'll begin to hear things. You'll begin to see things come together. And the more you live in it daily, the more it just naturally begins to flow into your life. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 39, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Do you know how many times and many of us and our groups have violated both of those scriptures? I mean, outright. Covet to prophesy? That's a strong term, covet. Thou shalt not. I mean, when it's in the negative, it's pretty bad. And he's saying, covet. Covet to prophesy. Don't forbid to speak with tongues. We got people that say there is no gift of prophecy and forbidden everybody to speak with tongues. And then we're going to let everything be done decently and in order. No, we need to covet to prophesy. We don't need to forbid speaking in other tongues, but we need to let things be done decently and in order. I tell you, I guess, praise God, I have skin finally tougher than an alligator. Because, I mean, I just get hit from every angle over this stuff. There's somebody not going to like what I'm saying. I don't care how sound it is and straight it is. Somebody ain't gonna like it. This group ain't going to like it. And the group you think you are ain't going to like it. And my group ain't going to like it. You know, when I say, look, we don't want a circus. We don't want to confuse people. We don't want misunderstandings. We want things to be done decently in order. And while we don't want to ever forbid speaking with other tongues, you need to speak with tongues, but don't be disruptive. Don't draw attention to yourself. Don't harm anybody with it. Don't get the mic and just start screaming in tongues. Because if you start speaking in tongues over the mic, then now we have to have an interpretation. Because we don't know what you're saying. Amen or amen. This is just difficult. It's like I want my worship leader to prophesy, but I want my time too. I want him to flow, but I don't want to drown. Okay, you've never met these people? That, I mean, for the first 30 seconds, oh my God, it's the word of the Lord. 30 minutes later, you're praying, where is God? Amen. All right. We just want things to be done decently and in order. We definitely don't want to forbid speaking with other tongues, and we all want to covet to speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the edifying of others. Turn back to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6. Verse 4 talks about diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. Verse 5 talks about diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. Verse 6 says there's diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh all in all. So see, there's diversity within true unity. Unity is not conformity. Unity is not all of us having the same haircut, same type clothes, same phraseology, same spiritual colloquialisms. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. No, there's diversity within unity. Aren't you glad that we can be diverse, different colors, but all be still in unity? Amen. Diversity in age, but we can have unity. Diversity in gifts. Some people just have a gift that you don't have and I don't have, and that's okay. Us walking in the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace brings those gifts together where we all benefit. Instead of having to start a church that this gift is prominent, start another church and this gift is prominent. Amen. Verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Notice that the manifestation of the Spirit of God in my life is not for my profit. It's for your profit. Amen. Well, that's important. Whatever gift you have, whatever God's done in your life, it's not for your profit. It's for the profit of the house. It's for the profit of those around you. He goes on to say in verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongue, but these all work at that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now listen to this. I have a gift of prophecy in a public setting. Not everybody is called to be full-time in a pulpit and operate in divine inspired utterance that edifies the whole body. But everybody can prophesy. Just like prophets prophesy, but not everybody that prophesies is a prophet. You don't have to be a prophet to prophesy, though prophets prophesy. I prophesy, but you don't have to have a pulpit to prophesy. Amen. Now let's look at some great, great scriptures. Isaiah 50. This is talking about Jesus and a prophecy of him. But can I get a witness that the works that Jesus did shall you, his people, do, and greater works than these because he went unto the Father? So while many things that are said to Jesus are unique to Jesus in his messianic appointment by God, other things Jesus operated in was for an example for the body of Christ to operate in. And so look at verse 4, because Jesus operated in this perfectly. We want to endeavor to operate in it as well. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Now notice the terminology here. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. Notice it didn't say he gave me the mind of the learned. You know, if there was one thing after the flesh, you know, I went to college and I have a couple of degrees, but I'm not what you consider an educated man. I don't articulate as well as educated men, but I want my tongue to be as the learned. God can anoint my tongue. You remember in the book of Acts that they looked at the apostles and said, these men are ignorant and unlearned. But how many of you know they might not have had the mind of the learned, but they had the tongue of the learned by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I may not be able to articulate over your heads where I look really great as a speaker. Sorry, I said something there you didn't catch. I know people who purposely speak over your head and articulate in such beauty that you don't have any idea what they said, but it sounded good. That's not the kingdom. I would rather have my tongue anointed, listen, and my ear opened. See, prophecy is God giving you a tongue for the weary, a tongue to inspire, to encourage, and to comfort those that are weary, those that are struggling. And we all have times in our lives. It's no shame to say that I'm struggling with something or I'm not able to break through in this area and somebody come and prophesy, have a tongue inspired by God. That's wisdom in your life. That's prophecy. That's prophecy. Having an ear to hear. What is God saying? We've all been. I mean, I can hear God. There is just no doubt in my mind I can hear God. But I've never heard a preacher say what I'm about to say. There's been seasons in my life that I'm not sure what he's saying. And I don't know if it's the risk factor or the fear factor or I don't want to miss him and I'm spiritually contracting and deafening my ears. But surely I'm not the only one that you get up some days and it's like, my goodness, I know exactly what God's saying. What a great day, and I'm prospering. And the next day, oh my gosh, what am I going to do about this? And how are we going to handle this? And where do we go from here? And it's silent. Boy, when somebody walks up to you, they don't have to say, thus saith the Lord. Just give you a word. Go to Proverbs 25, a word in season. Proverbs 20:25. Isaiah said, when someone speaks a word in season, that's because they heard God. And over the years, I stand amazed at, while again, I may not consider myself a very intellectual man, a very deep man, a very educated man, I'm not what you would call a learned man, God speaking to my heart for somebody hurting. God showing me. I mean, I could give you story after story of God, someone running away from home, and God giving me a picture where they are, what corner street they're on, and go there and they're there. I'd rather have that than six more degrees hanging on my wall. Amen. That's supernatural. See, we are living so, and I'm not critical of us or me, but we are living so far below our kingdom privileges, our covenantal privileges. We serve, saints, a supernatural God. The king would assemble his people together and make their strategy against Israel. And while they're talking in the bedchamber, the prophet's on his knees, and God's telling the prophet what the king is going to do and where they're going to be. You can't get that with 6 more degrees on your wall. It's supernatural. I'm not knocking education. Don't miss me on that. Again, I have often thought, again, and wished I was more of an educated man in some ways. But I wouldn't trade the gifts of the Holy Spirit for all the education on the planet. I wouldn't trade a supernatural God that can use me to give a word in season in your weariness, or receive a word from somebody supernaturally, not based on some degree on their wall, but the supernatural inspiration. I'm about to get happy. It blesses me. I got to hurry. I got to get out of this introduction. I'm sorry. Proverbs 25. Look at verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Now, that's a little tied up in King James Bible. The New Living Translation says, timely advice is lovely like golden apples in a silver basket. Just like, man, golden apples? I mean, at the price of gold right now, I believe I receive some golden apples in a basket of silver given to me. Don't you think that kind of boosts your courage a little bit, edify you a little bit? Who are you kidding? You'd have a runaway. Somebody handed you a basket of golden apples and a basket of silver, you would do a jig for Jesus. I don't care what your personality is. Did you know when you are desperate for God and to hear God and a need from God, and somebody prophesies over you the inspired word of God, it's like golden apples in a basket of silver. We all need to seek to prophesy. We all need to seek to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We just need to do it in love. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. And this is what I was referring to earlier about the things we've seen in Spirit-filled life. In Spirit-filled life. With the supernatural and the desire for the supernatural, is going to come mistakes, is going to come flaws, because we're human. And we're not perfect. And many times, people have been around the supernatural, they've been around the gifts of the Spirit, and they've just had a bad experience. Again, I know I ain't the only one, too, that somebody's come up to give me a word, and it was plain weird. Okay, you didn't want to laugh on that one. All right, I understand. Don't look around you. Don't move. And if you're not careful, you become cynical. And I've had words given to me before. They did not exhort me, they did not edify me, and they did not comfort me. Right. You know, thus saith the Lord, you'll die in 2 weeks if you don't. That doesn't help you. Amen. Stuff like that. So look at what Paul said to the Thessalonican Christians. Verse 16, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Now underline this. Despise not prophesyings. Now, you know, a lot of times we just read the Bible and we forget these were real people, real lives, with real issues, just like us. Why in the world would he write these people, despise not prophesyings? Because they were despising them. Okay, that didn't fly. He would not have wrote them, do not despise prophesyings, if they weren't despising prophesyings. I've seen entire churches shut everything down on the supernatural because something didn't happen right, something was done out of order, something went awry, and they despise now prophesying. It doesn't matter how many weird things happen to me. I'm not going to despise prophesying. The very next person that could come up to me could absolutely have in a silver basket golden apples for me. Just one word from God can change your entire destiny. one inspired word from one tongue of the learned in a time spoken in a season of weariness could make the difference of sink and swim, saints. Sink and swim. And I just wish everybody could really live the adventurous life that I live. I mean, I'm on the edge all the time of total failure or success. It seems like every day. And I got to hear God. I don't have the luxury of checking out for 3 months and not hearing God. I got to hear God. And man, there's just times somebody will come up and just say something so simple. They don't even know God's using them many times. You don't even know how many times God has used you, and you didn't even know it. That's how supernatural and natural prophecy should be in our lives. We should be praying every day. We should be praying without ceasing. We should be caring and loving without ceasing. We should be listening not only for ourselves, but for our fellow man constantly. He says, look at verse 21. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from the appearance of evil. Notice you have to prove all things. See, again, we've all experienced abuses. We've all experienced probably some false signs and wonders. But that doesn't change the real. We can't throw the baby out with the bathwater when it comes to the supernatural. We need the supernatural in our lives, and we need to be a supernatural people. Again, if there's a public prophecy, 1 Corinthians 14 is very clear on that, only two or three at the most, and then we have to judge it. And that's what makes this difficult. It's like you want public prophecies, but you can't just let anything go on. I grew up in circles where someone who could operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit many times would manipulate the whole service in the name of the Lord, in the name of the gifts. I've had public prophecies given that, man, it didn't exhort any of us. It didn't comfort any of us. They just missed it. And you don't want to hurt them, but you can't let that go. So then everybody gets nervous. And now they're afraid to step out. Are y'all getting any of this? We don't want either way. We invite public displays of the Holy Ghost and prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, all those things, especially in these midweek services where we're not as time constrained as we are with the live feed. But even after the live feed, we should be flowing right out of that live feed. You should be on this stage, and you should be very softly, as I'm going into my altar call plan, and you should flow right into the Holy Ghost of whatever I just shared, because coming here even for the live feed is not just watching a video. We're flowing in the Holy Ghost together. And there should be prophecy coming out of it. He should prophesy on the guitar coming out of live feed. We should prophesy at this altar constantly when we have these altar calls. We should be believing for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to work at this altar in any and everybody that comes down here. And everybody down here needs to be coveting to prophesy. Have a tongue that came and inspired by God of the learned. Of the learned. Again, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, we're commanded by God to try the spirits to see whether or not they are of God. For there's many false prophets that have gone out in the world. If there's a public display of anything, it has to be judged publicly. But listen, private prophecies are encouraged in this ministry, and we covet them. We just have to train everybody to make sure that if you give a private prophecy, make sure you judge your own heart in the love of God. And if you receive any private prophecies, you do have to judge it. Sometimes it's dead on, dead spot on. And it's like, wow, that's exactly what I needed. And it bears total witness. Other times, and this is important that you understand this. Many times a prophecy can be given and it doesn't seem like it applies at all to your life, your situation. Almost the opposite of what's going on in your life. Listen, you just need to shelve that. You don't need to try to make it come to pass. You don't have to force anything. But many times in prophecy, God is showing somebody something to come. It's not there in your life right now, but it's coming. It's like a vision. And Habakkuk 2:3, it says that a vision from God has an appointed time. I've had things spoken over me, and it did not apply at that time. I didn't call them a false prophet and write them off. I didn't throw the thing away. I just put it on the shelf, and the Holy Ghost brought it back to me a year, 2 years, 3 years later. That's what God was saying to me 3 years ago, and I'm glad I held on to it. I didn't pore over it every day, sobbing that it isn't true. And when's it going to be true? And what can I manipulate to make it true? Hello? No, just put it on the shelf. Holy Ghost, bring it back. So-and-so spoke that over to me over me 3 years ago in a meeting, and he saw something coming. So sometimes a prophecy is on spot of what you're experiencing right now, what you needed for today. Other times it may be talking about a week out, a month out, a year out. And so you need to be careful in judging it. Well, they missed God. Number three, directive prophecies. You have to be careful with directive prophecy. Any prophecy that is directing you to move, directing you to marry somebody, you get some counsel fast. Don't you dare marry anybody because so-and-so prophesied over you that you're supposed to marry Susie. Susie doesn't know that yet. Susie's parents don't even like it. You marry her, and now you're miserable, and the prophet or whoever prophesied is in New England. You got to wake up every day with his prophecy. That'll hit the rest of you later. Thus saith the Lord, you're supposed to move to Spain. Don't go get an airline ticket without counsel and without multiple witnesses. When it comes to directive prophecies, you have to have more than one witness because of the high risk involved. See, there's low-risk decisions that we need not very many witnesses. But when you start talking about high-risk decisions, you need multiple witnesses. God's not withholding information from you by testing things, by trying things, by coming to Him and saying, look, this is a major thing in my life. I need more than just even the witness of my own spirit. Now, I got a prophecy of this major thing in my life. I need at least one more witness that I can trust to look and be honest with me. Is there anything to this? Because you don't want to hurt anybody. You don't want to hurt yourself. You don't want to hurt yourself and you don't want to hurt anybody. That's not ever God's intent. His intent in prophecy is to encourage you, inspire you, edify you, and comfort you. And so if you don't even get those three things immediately, hang on to it. Don't judge people and put people down if they missed it. Because you're going to miss it in your lifetime. So sow mercy. Where are all the mercy people? Jacob was asking earlier for just nice people. We got to go to another church to find that, I guess. We want to be merciful, amen? Because we need mercy. And that's why you need to know, in closing, as your pastor, I'm cool with people stepping out and messing up versus being scared to step out. We don't need to be scared, but we've got to do things decent in order. We don't want to hurt people. If you feel like God spoke to you and said, so-and-so is supposed to marry somebody, did you know the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets? That's under your control to give that or not give that, and it wouldn't hurt for you to come to a pastor in a situation like that and say, hey, I think God's telling me Bill is supposed to marry Susie. What do you think, Pastor? Amen. That's not doubt and unbelief. That's caring about people. Amen. And I could give other examples. It's just, with this crowd, it doesn't look like anybody's fixing to get married but Hollis. So. So I thought it wouldn't be as personal. But did I make my point? Man, let's covet to prophesy. Amen. Let's follow after love. And let's be receivers of prophecy and givers of prophecy in this house. Amen. I hope that helps. Let me pray for you.